Okay, so while Ellie is passing out the sheets, first of all, my name is Jonathan Ziering. I'm the Sgan Rosh Beit Midrash with the Yeshiva University Torah Mitzion Beit Midrash Zichron Dov. During the week, we learn our Seder is at Yeshivat Or Chaim, and we give shiurim throughout the community, some of them down here in this area. First of all, thank you so much to Sam and Ellie Sheva Lightstone for hosting tonight. Thank you, as usual, to Ellie for helping organize, and Pesach, is he here? Pesach, not here? For helping organize. Okay, so tonight, more than having a shiur, I want to have a conversation. So as you'll look at the source sheets, you'll see there's a lot more outline than there is sources. I want to have a conversation about the future of electricity on Shabbos. So, for most people, at this point, when we think about Shabbos, the first thing we think about is no electricity, right? No electricity and no cars. Right? All of the things that are the classic melachos, planting and plowing and winnowing and whatever Oseh Shtei Batei Nirim is, right, setting up the warp and the weft and whatever, but all those things that were the classic malachos, like I open, you know, the, what is it, Baruch Chait Shabbos book with my three-year-old, and he looks at the pictures and he said, what is that? Right, all the things that are the classic 39 malachot, we don't even know what they are, but electricity we all know. We don't turn on a light, we don't drive our car, we don't use our computers, our laptops, our cell phones, whatever else. But while it's very easy to explain why it is forbidden to plant a tree on Shabbos, because there's a malacha that forbids planting, trying to figure out why electricity has become the staple of our Shabbos, our Shmira Shabbos, is much harder to explain. And not only is it hard to explain in general, but it's only gotten worse in the last few years. And what I want to do is try to understand why. So, let's start. Let's see what people know first. Classically, electricity. Why can't you use electricity on Shabbos? Now, I'm going to bracket for a moment the obvious. If you're using, I don't know, an electric lawnmower, the reason you can't use it is because you're cutting the grass, right? The result is a classic malacha, you're just using electricity. That's easy. But let's say the only potential problem is electricity. You're using your computer. Why is that forbidden? What? Bonet. So, the first position that was suggested, the Chazon Ish, Rav Aram Yishaya Karelet, suggested it's building because you build the circuit, and that has certain problems with it, but that's one possibility. You're building. What else? What else might it be? If you want to cheat, you can look at the outline, but that's fine. It's a cheat sheet. That's fine, but I was waiting for someone to realize that. Yeah. What else?
The two other problems.
Okay, so when heat is generated, so then there may be a problem of either havara, of creating a fire, or mivashel, of cooking. But let's say you're not doing that. You're using, I don't know, you're using an LED light, which has minimal to no heat. Then what could the problem be? So the other problem, makiv epatish. So we're going to come back to that. That's similar to bonus, similar to building. There's a separate malacha called striking the final hammer blow, makiv epatish. Technically, Makabifatish, we'll call it for what it's called colloquially. And that might be similar, right? You're building in some sense. You're finishing the circuit, or, as we'll see, perhaps you're finishing the activity you're doing. What else?
The rabbis knew ahead of time, before they went on the search, that it's going to be Aser.
Good. We're going to come back to that one. Hold that thought. The rabbis knew it was Aser before they started. We're coming back to it, I promise you. Okay, what else? Not in the spirit of Shabbos. Good, we're going to come back to that too. Now, if it's that, it's not biblical in the classic. I mean, it is, sort of, but we'll come to that. But it's not a malacha. What else? You can look at the cheat sheet. Anyone want to read off B, 1B?
Molid.
What?
Molid.
Molid. Molid? What you said?
Yeah.
Okay. So Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes Be'itzhak said it's molid, which is a derabanan, a rabbinic law against creating things. He said it's not biblical, but it does clearly create something new. And then there was Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who said, I'm not really sure why it's forbidden. I really have no idea. incandescent light bulbs, I get. They're Havara, or they're Mevashel, or something. You're creating a fire. There's a tungsten filament. Great. But regular electricity, I have no idea. So much so did he not have an idea that no one knows what he said. Right? He wrote a book on the topic called Mara'esh. He has lengthy Chuvin Min Kachlomo. What he holds, as you see in the outline here, something he that, even though he didn't understand the Beit Yitzchak, that it was Molid, he thought it was Molid. Others think that it's a minug, that it's a custom, or that's how Rabbi Broid and Rabbi Jachter understand it in their article in the Journal of Contemporary Halacha. And some, like Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, the posig in America before Moshe Feinstein, thought that he thought it was really mutter, but we treat it as if it's usher because we do. And that's it, right? Doesn't really know me, and maybe even it's uvdin dechol, it's a weekday activity, or what we call, it's not Shabbos dick. Right? It's like playing basketball on Shabbos, or, I don't know, right? All those things which are not Shabbos-dick, and we can argue about what's Shabbos-dick and not, electricity is the same way. But here's the problem. There's a few problems with trying to approach electricity nowadays. The first problem is that the halachic positions were never fully settled. The Chazon Eish said it was Boner. Rav Shlomo Zalman said something, we don't really know what he said. Rav Yitzchok Shmelkes said something else. Some people said it was Eish, because at some point they thought there was actual fire going through the wires, and there was never a consensus as to why it was forbidden. But there's a bigger problem. The bigger problem is that whatever people said 100 years ago, it doesn't fit our reality anymore. Our electricity, our electric devices, what we can do, doesn't look anything like what the Chazon Eish was talking about, what Rav Shlomo Zalman was talking about. I called this year Amazon Echo, Google Home, and Mind Control Drones, and the future of electricity on Shabbat, on Shabbat. The problem, as far as I can tell, is not just that the halachic positions were never fully settled. It was that even if they were settled, they don't answer the questions that we have nowadays. I watched a YouTube video, you can go online later and watch it, of mind control drones. I'm not making this up. They had a race, I think it was down in Florida, where you put on a helmet. There's no wires. It's radio controlled. You stare at a screen and just to concentrate. And they had a race who could get the drone across the room by thinking. And they said, this is nothing. What we can't show you on the video is that we use the same technology for military drones that we can launch up to 10 strikes simultaneously through a mere thought. Nothing we have until now is going to answer that question, because you have to ask a totally new question, which is, let's say it is Bona. Let's say it's building a circuit. Is building a circuit with your mind called Bona? Right? It's a new reality. There's no Maaseh, there's no act. So are thoughts considered acts, right? Even if we had settled the questions, there are new questions. Or Amazon Echo and Google Home, right? Where you set up microphones all over your house and you just talk and things happen magically. Or you use your phone. Okay, your phone, fine, you're doing something active. But when you talk, right, you don't even realize you're talking. Your whole house is programmed that way. Is that really an act? I mean, yes, I set it up before Shabbos, so I'm aware it's going to happen. The future of electricity on Shabbos doesn't just depend on how we rule on the original disputes. It depends on what are we going to do as technology moves faster and faster, and the categories we've come up with become basically meaningless. Because we're going to have to ask the questions over and over as things that we can't even imagine happening will become reality. In addition to that problem, it's not just that technology is changing. It's also that electricity is becoming so prevalent that it's becoming near impossible to avoid if you really think it's fully Asur Midaraisa. So for example, motion sensors. Motion sensors is one of the questions we'll talk about, right? You're walking and a light goes on. Now, that means different things. You're walking down the street, it goes on, not on purpose. Or you set up your whole house to save electricity. Or you go to a hotel, which sets up motion sensors. What do you do? Is that called a violation? Is that called an act? Right? I walked and the light went on. Is that called turning on a light? The Chazon Eish isn't going to answer that question for you. Neither is Rav Shlomo Zalman or the Beit Yitzchak, right? You could say that it's Asur Midaraisa Bona, but said it's only when I flip a switch and not when I walk and it happens, you know.
At worst, isn't it Grama?
Right, maybe it's Grama, in which case it's Grama, maybe, but maybe it's Sikresha, right? Grumma is indirect cause, which is only forbidden rabbinically. Psikresha is an inevitable cause, which is usher biblically. But is it psikresha? I don't know, right? Or what happens? Let's say we would rule you can't set up motion sensors in your house that would turn on the light, turn on and off the lights. That I would understand. What happens? Look at number three. What happens in the following case? This was an article from England a few years ago, 2009. Religious row as Orthodox Jewish couple sue neighbors for imprisoning them with automatic hallway lights. Dr. Dina Coleman and husband Gordon claim they cannot leave their holiday flat on the Sabbath because when they do, they automatically trigger the light in the communal hallway, contravening a religious ban on turning on electrical items from sunset on Friday to sunset on Saturday. What happens if by forbidding motion sensors, you don't just say that people aren't allowed to set up motion sensors in their house, but you lock people in their houses? And what if we say that it's usher to walk in front of a camera?
Yerushalayim story.
Which one?
The Haredim and Yerushalayim were very upset that they had security cameras all over town.
Right. So you could say it's usher, but then you might run into, I remember this moment very well, Rabbi Willig wanted to talk about that question. Can you walk in front of motion sensors, in front of cameras? So what did he do? He pulled up we were looking at different disputes that were happening in Israel. So we pulled up a article online that was talking about the Haredi protests against, I think, a parking lot, a new parking lot that was going to be open on Shabbos. First comment underneath was, wait a second, these are Talmidim of Rebbe Yashiv. Rebbe Yashiv thinks it's also to walk in front of a camera. They know that the press is going to come and cover this. It's Tovil v'sherens b'yadam. Right? They're going to the mikvah while holding the thing that makes them tame, right? If you really think it's also going in front of a camera, so you can't rally, you can't do anything, or you can't walk outside. A few years ago, I was finding directions from my in-law's house, right, in Clanton Park, to I don't know where. And you know, the video, you know, the picture comes up of their house. And the picture is my wife and I walking in to the house. I checked because I wanted to put it on, but it's gone. They have a new picture now. You have no idea when you are being filmed. If we really say it's usher to go in front of a camera, what happens? You walk outside, right? There are cameras in the sky, right? There are satellites, and it's not that you're paranoid. It's that they are watching you, right? They are. This is the reality. This is the world we live in. So even if we had settled the electricity question, which we didn't, we still have a million questions that we need to ask, which force us to go back to first principles.
Public washroom.
Yeah, public washroom.
Go to the hotel. Now you know, if you leave the washroom, my son was stuck.
Yeah, exactly. Stuck. Right, what happens? You walk in, you don't realize. Right, this happened to me. Forget, you go to a hotel. It happened to me in the Bayit a few weeks ago because there's one bathroom, one washroom, which has an electric eye. They normally put tape on. Right? This time they didn't. Right? I walked in, I realized it's there. Right? What do? You're stuck there the rest of Shabbos, right? Right? I mean, this is what we get. Right? I mean, I walked away because I know Rosh Hashanah says it's mutter. But, right, as I said, it's not just that the original questions were never answered. It's that reality is changing so fast that if we don't go back to first principles, right, we're not even going to know how to respond. So that's what I want to try to do. So what do you do? What do you do? How do you deal with electricity in general and the constantly changing realities that we see? So as far as I can tell, well, we have a few directions. But let me ask you, what do you think we should do? What? Okay.
If you don't nichabei, then I'll tell you okay.
Okay. So one direction, as we'll see, is to say, let's reimagine, I'm going to rephrase this, but let's reimagine electricity, not in formal terms, but in substantive terms. Meaning, let's stop asking, were you bona, were you not bona? Let's ask, did you intend to create something new or not? If you did, that is either us or either biblically or rabbinically, but come up with a language that will be true to our intuitions, that while it might be forbidden to turn on a light, it can't possibly be forbidden to walk outside knowing that there may be a satellite watching you, right? Go to substantive principles. Another thing we could do is what's your name in the back?
Richie.
What Richie had said before, right? Admit that we're talking not as much about formal laws, but about the spirit of Shabbos, which gives us a bit of room to play. Or, let's do what Ellie did, and say, Well, even if the formal categories didn't work, maybe it was never about formal categories at all. Let's admit that we were looking for a formal category as an excuse to forbid it because we know intuitively it must be forbidden. Right? These are all possible directions. And I'm not saying this cynically. We'll see that serious poskim have said this. So let's see. Okay. So let's start with Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Asher Weiss is one of the leading poskim in Eretz Yisrael now, in Yerushalayim. Amazingly creative thinker, accepted in across a large, large swath of the community, and I love his psukim, always love it. So, Rav Asher, following a short comment by Rav Shmuel Vosner, takes the first approach, says, what we need to do is we need to reimagine everything. We need to stop talking in formal categories, because formal categories are not going to explain the world we live in. Right? Don't tell me it's bonah when I walk outside, right, and there's a camera coming from a satellite that's filming my every move. Right, that's not bona. Let's come up with a substantive, right? What I mean by substantive is not, right, ask a local question. Let's ask, well, we'll see what he says. What he's I'll summarize and then we'll read it inside. What Rav Asher Weiss basically says is as follows. What is the core of all malach on Shabbos? Why is everything asr on Shabbos? Where did the 39 malach come from?
Mishkan.
And where else does the word malacha come up?
Bereishis.
What do we know, therefore? What is malacha? Something which does what?
Creates.
It's creative. So Rav Asher Weiss says, everything which is creative is aser. Why? So let's look at what he says. Look at, I don't know how this became 4D, but sure, 4D. What would have been 5? Okay. In the Tshuva de Minchas Asher, he writes as follows. Kibalti l'nachon hakuntrasim. I got a letter from somebody. I'm going to take a guess. I know who this is, but we'll see. My guess is that this is Dror Frixler or Eliyahu Reif, who are Talmidim of Ramnachem Rabinovich, who write extensively on electricity, and we'll see in a moment what they hold. They said that electricity is just Uvdin Dechol. It's just not Shabbos Dik, but there's no Malacha. And we'll get to that position in a moment. This is Rasha's response. Ve'ein ani maskim af lo lemila achat shekatav. I do not agree with a single word that you wrote. Lefiu niyadati shagaba zeshkia gdola. You have made a grave error. Umaskanato chamura, and your conclusion is extremely severe. Ve'yesh ba michshol lerabim ve'isur de'oraita rachmana litzlan. And your conclusion will lead to biblical violations, God forbid. Ha'amet yored darko. The truth will show its own way. Diyesh lefalpel ulikfak pek bechol drachin vatzveros shenemru bazeh. You could doubt everything that was said until now. You can doubt the Chazon Ish that it's building. You can doubt the Beit Yitzchak that it's moled. You can doubt Rishlomo Zalman that it's a minhag lasor. I don't care. But anyone who wants to be practically, wants to be leaning, you are not part of the community. It's as if a voice came from heaven and said that there is a biblical prohibition. Right? At least. What do I think? And Rav Asher, I heard him once say in person that this is the tshuva. Before it was a tshuva, when it was a shir, that he gets consistently the most response of anything he's ever written, ever said. He gets letters from around the world constantly. Nireli diyesh biskiras hamagala chashmali chash makev v'fatish d'oraisa. Electricity closing a circuit is makev v'fatish. It's striking the final hammer blow. But why? Vizos al piyamur b'Yerushalmi. There's Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says something very strange. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish used to sit around. And they used to take every act. Pick an act. Any act. Anything. And they used to sit and say, what malacha is that? So, if someone asked, what malacha is it to plant a tree? Well, they said, that's easy. It's planting. Now, that's not complicated. But sometimes they came up with acts and they didn't know what it was. Do you know what they did? So, what would you do if you had an act and you couldn't figure out which malacha it was?
So, it's not a malacha.
So, I would say, it's not a malacha. And you know what Yerushalmi says? They called it Makev Epatish, which is the 39th Malacha. They called it the final hammer blow. Now, what does that mean? Right? So he says, Shabbat Yochanan Reish Lakish, Ainu B'chalam Malachal Shabbat Olam, V'kavu Shemaseh, Z'yesh Bo Chashivus, Tikkun v'chidush u'mishum kach malachu. Rav Asher says, we tend to think about it wrong. We think that when we talk about malachot, the first thing people did, Chazal did, was they looked at an act and they said, is this planting? If it's planting, it's a malacha. Is this harvesting? If it is, it's a malacha. That's not what they did. They looked at an act and they said, is this creative or not? Is it malechet machshefet? Is it bore, yotzer? Is it creative? If it is, then it must be a malacha. If I can put it in one of the 38 categories that are clearly defined, great. It's planting, it's plowing, it's whatever. If they couldn't, it was makev fatish. Makev fatish means anything that you look at it and you know it's creative, but you can't put your finger on why. That is not just asr midir abanan. That's not just rabbinic. That's not just against the spirit of Shabbos. That is a malacha, and it's called makev fatish. Yes. Yes, and it's and Rav Asher says the same thing. He says that's what it is. Malachahu v'rach achar kach hisbonu le'ezer milamed tesu doma. Only after they had established that it must be usher did they bother figuring out how it was usher. V'nir'eh shekach gam legabi skiras hamagal hashmalini. So that's what's true with closing an electric circuit. Dilo kol safeg yish b'hamsa atzu mashen k'motat tikun v'chashivut. Said, because when you turn on an electric switch, you know you are creating something new, more than anything else. Right? We all understand that what we can do with electricity is creative. Right? We all understand that. That's the reality we live in. Right? Our world is transformed by electricity. The kach gam legabe nerot led. And therefore he said that's true of LED lights. That was the context of the Shaila. LED, which is very hard to figure out why it's usher, he says, usher mid da'araisa. It's biblically forbidden because it's creative. Because it creates light. You want proof that creating light is creative? There should be an easy proof. Thank you. Right. Yeah. You don't gotta go very far. Like go 5-6 sukkim from the beginning of the Torah, and you'll find out that creating light is called creating. But then he says something brilliant. This comes back to your point. Say, what's your name? Elchanan's point. If electricity is usur, is forbidden because it's undeniably creative, meaning I'm involved in an act and I understand that what I'm doing is something new, then that's only true if what? If I'm doing it. I intend to do it. And he points out there's a Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah says the following. Normally there's a rule called Psik Resha, that if I'm doing an act that inevitably causes a malacha, even if what I'm doing is not the malacha, but it's inevitable consequence of what I'm doing, it's forbidden. Why? Because the 38 of the malachot are formal. Right? What did I plan? Well, let's say all I intended to do was eat watermelon, but I'm on wet, soaking wet mud, right? And the seed falls in, right? And then I step on it, and it starts growing, right? I mean, I understand, not so quickly, but okay, right? Am I or am I not planting, right? The answer is yes, right? I don't know if that's a good example of Psik Resha, but let's leave it for now, okay? Because there's a formal act I can point to and say, there's a prohibition to plant, and I just planted. My intent was to eat, okay? But whenever I eat watermelon seeds, the watermelon falls on the ground, right? And it was inevitable, or in easier case, right? There's an issur to water as part of the general issurim of planting, etc., right? So I decide it's really hot. I want someone, while I'm standing on grass, to turn on the hose and cool me down. Am I going to water the grass? Yes, right? But if makeh patish is subjectively defined, meaning the real question is, were you or were you not creating? So then psik resha, right, where it wasn't my intent, even if it's inevitable, is going to be permitted, right? Because it's not my act anymore. I wasn't being creative, right?
Not exactly. Reaping your just from the Torah, if you meant to sow again. But if you not mean to sow in again, the reaping from the Rabbanan, the grape of the Rabbanan.
Right. Psik Resha, though, is still the Araisa, right? It's still biblical, right? If I'm not, right, there's other cases, Malchachin, Shri Chalagufa, and all types of permutations. But Rav Asher says, any time I don't intend to do something, or I don't perceive that something happens, it's mutter. So for example, I'll give you a few. He has a shaila with six parts. They're all interesting. One shaila he got, hearing aids. It used to be you had to adjust hearing aids. Now, hearing aids adjust by themselves. But why do they adjust by themselves? What's the goal of self-adjusting hearing aids? So that what? The person who's wearing them doesn't realize the difference. So Rav Asher says, wait a second. If the point is that you don't realize, then it's mutter, right? Because the whole point is that makaveh patish is only when subjectively I feel like I'm doing something new. If the whole point of the changing the electricity is to maintain the status quo from my perspective, then it's mutter lechatchila, so I'm allowed to wear it, even though I know that by walking from a loud room into a quiet room, the microphones inside are going to switch. Or another example, great example he had. I don't know who asked him the shaila. Someone is under house arrest, and he got permission from the police to go to shul on Shabbos, but he has to wear his ankle bracelet, and it sets off the GPS in the police station so they can watch him. Is it permitted or not? And he says, it's permitted, because do you notice anything happening? No, not at all. Are you aware in the back of your mind that the police know where you are? Unfortunately, you are aware of such things, right? You may not be the firmest person. I don't know why he's under house arrest, but at least you can be calm that you're keeping Shabbos.
Jonathan Pollard.
What?
Jonathan Pollard.
Okay, could be whatever. It could be whoever. I don't, the shaila came out before that. I don't know who it is. I don't know what he's guilty of. Maybe he's innocent. Maybe he's not. But the point is he wants to keep Shabbos, so let him at least do that, right? So Rav Asher says it's permitted. Because, and again, I call this the substantive approach rather than the formal approach. That as we get new shilas, what we need to ask is it creative? Is it perceived as creative? If yes, it's forbidden. If not, then it's permitted. That's possibility one. Possibility two, Rib Rabinovich, or Rabinowitz, who I assume no one remembers when he was a rabbi, but maybe you do remember when he was a rabbi. You remember? Okay, used to be rabbi of Clinton Park. Joey remembers. Okay. He used to be Rabbi Clinton Park. Now he's the Rosh Yeshiva in Male Adumim, in Yeshivat Birkat Moshe. He's one of the leading posts in the religious Zionist world. He's 89 or something like that now. Another possibility is to say, well, why is electricity usher? Well, the Chazon Ish said it was building, and the majority of poskim didn't agree with that. And he has a tradition from Rav Henkin that what Rav Shlomo Zalman meant when he said that I don't know why it's usher is that it's not usher, it's not a malacha, it's lived in the hall, it's not Shabbos dick. And therefore, Rabinovich, you know, has been building up to this over the course of Tshuvot over years, but he's finally really come out very, very loudly and said this. Electricity, let's just admit it, was never really usher. It was just not Shabbos dick. And therefore, do you know how you know whether electricity is permitted or not? Ask the question, is it or is it not Shabbos dick? Now, obviously, he points out, if you use an electric lawnmower, it's usher because you're mowing the lawn. That's a different question. But electricity, just electricity, is fine. And therefore, he said, and this is what created a stir over the summer. You're in a hotel. You want to get into your door. You have a magnetic key card. You know what he said? Use it, period, end of story, it's mutter. And it wasn't just like someone asked him the question, right? Because sometimes someone pushes you into the corner and they ask you the question. That's not what happened. His students, Eliyahu Reif, said, it's permitted in hospitals and in police stations for security and for refuah and all those things. He writes a response, unprompted, and says, you're right, and you're not just right there. Atat sodek v'gam bichlal. You're always right. You can just go, you can use your electric key cards, end of story, that's it. That's it. Right? And look, let's look at it inside, in case you don't believe me, right? Let's look at the English. Let's go to the English in number 5, okay? It is self-evident that if a person performs...
So why do we have mechanical keys of them?
What?
He wouldn't.
Yeah, he said he doesn't care. Is it self-evident that a person performs one of the 39 malachot using electricity, such as grinding with an electric grinder and the like, the one who uses it is liable biblically. However, some use electricity for goals which are neither nor resemble malachot, right? Like going into a door. The use of electricity, even when the electric currents are closed, when no action defined as malachot performed, is definitely not forbidden biblically. But there is room to forbid rabbinically because of weekday activity, uvdin dechol. In the past, when electricity was beginning to spread, the great authorities saw a danger for keeping Shabbat, because electricity could be used to do all the 39 malachot. However, In our days, electricity has been applied to different usages that are fully automated without human hands at all. Not on Friday, and for sure not on Shabbat itself. Mm-hmm. Now, meaning even if you set it in advance, like timers and things like that, right? Thermostats, you know, things on Friday, and for, even at, right? Now the question is, how much can we ascribe these actions to human beings when they're fundamental, when they're fully automated? I already wrote in Siach Nachum 25 that there must be a limit to when we can ascribe action to people when they are fully automated. However, it is clear that the limit must be defined, must be when the person acting is separate from the system he's acting on, i.e., where he cannot be considered part of the system. Additionally, the action must be noticeable to the senses. Only then can you forbid, even rabbinically. However, if a person doesn't touch the electrical system at all and does no specific act to initiate the system and happens totally by itself, how can one even think that it is forbidden, especially when 139 malachot are being done? This is even if you appreciate and benefit from it. So Rabinovich just says, look, electricity is not Shabbistic. Therefore, when is it usher? When it's not Shabbistic. Is going into a hotel room not Shabbistic? Meh. No. So what? He said, why is that not Shabbistic? Using a key is not Shabbistic? You assume it's not Shabbistic because you think electricity is not Shabbistic, but he says, why not? And then he says, and motion sensors. What? It's not Shabbistic? I understand. You don't want me to turn on the light? I won't turn on the light. But walking into my room? Meh. Walking is walking.
What's wrong with opening the fridge? It's electrons on you and you're getting...
Well, maybe it's an incandescent light bulb. Maybe you also because of...
LED.
According to Rabinovich? Yeah, probably. That's not, right? Rabinovich's tshuva has not even begun to fully sink in. Well, it has started to sink in. That's why people get angry in the summer, right? But, right, that's inevitable. It started, but Rabinovich just said, okay, possibly one was what Rav Asher said, was come up with a new language, right? Come up with a language that doesn't have all the problems of the original highly formal language, right? He said, we have a category. It's called being creative. And ask yourself the question, is what I'm doing creative? Is it or can I perceive that as creative? If it is, it's usher biblically. If not, it's mutter. Right? That's it. Right? It comes with its chumrah, it comes with its kulot, it comes with stringencies and leniencies, but that at least will give us a language to go forward. Rabbi Minovich took the opposite extreme, which was the language that we have for electricity. First of all, it was never settled, and I think it was never really forbidden. It was only not Shabbistic. And you know what I'm going to do with all the new questions that you think can't possibly be mutter? Right? Because we've always been convinced that electricity must be usher, so motion sensors must be usher, and card keys must be usher. No, who said? We never thought electricity was usher. It was only not Shabbistic. Card keys. And all these new things, motion sensors and the like, why aren't they Shabbistic? Who said? Right? So you have two extremes, right? You have Rav Asher who says, I'm coming up with a new language to incorporate things and explain why they're biblically forbidden. Rabinovich says, no, the new realities have forced me to go back to first principles. And what was my first principle? That it was never really usher. And therefore, all those new shilas, they're mutter. And especially, as he already starts to intimate, if it was about it not being Shabbistic, so it was one thing to say you can't turn on the light. It was another thing to talk about motion sensors. It's another thing to talk about Amazon, right? Amazon and Google Home and Voice and whatever. It's another thing to talk about mind control things. Another tshuva, he says, right, if I'm controlling it by my mind, he doesn't use this language. But to make it very clear, we say it in Zmirot, right? What are the parameters of things which are usher because it's not Shabbistic? Hirhurim mutarim. Thoughts are permitted, right? Therefore, any electricity I'm going to cause by my thoughts is... What?
Hirhurim mutarim are thoughts that are permitted.
No, hirhurim. No, hirhurim mutarim. Hirhurim is whenever I think about not Shabbistic,
well,
that's
sure
permitted.
You're not supposed to think about.
No, it's that even the things I can't talk about, I'm allowed to think about. Hirhurim mutarim, because it's a pasuk in Yechezkel and Yeshayahu rather, right? Mimso chavidaber davar. Not Shabbos things are only usher if you speak them. Right?
I think it means that certain things you can't think about.
No. It's hirurim. No, it's those things you can't talk about, you can think about. Right? If you think about it... By the way, this is probably a good time to make a disclaimer here. I'm not poskening. Go ask your posig. I'm just explaining what's going on. This is a problem. I've been giving shiurim on like controversial tshuva coming out of Israel in the Bayit, and someone took one of my source sheets and then gave it to the Sgan Rosh Kollel at the Bayit Kollel. Rai Lichtenstein, right? He wasn't so happy with me, but I was like, I'm not poskening. I'm just take it up with. So if you don't like it, email. You know, don't. I'm not. I'm just saying what's going on. Okay.
So what happens when you use electricity
It's LED. It's LED. Right? So Rabinovich says, okay, do you want the light? You care about the green light, the red light? Big deal.
It's creative,
too, isn't it? Well, that's not how Rabinovich thinks, right? Rav Asher Weiss might said yes. It's creative. That's why he said it's also midaraisa.
It also goes away right away. Like, things that are temporary are not necessarily
true. Well, not necessarily, right? That was always one of the problems with the Chazon Ish. Okay. Right, it could be secret. Well, that was what Rav Asher said. Even, but you know, yeah, we have to add. But you do want the door to open, so okay.
For the
light, exactly. Okay. Rav Yaakov Ariel takes another position. He takes what Eli said. He takes another position. Right. So Rav Asher said, "Let's come up with a new language to explain why things are awesome." Rabinovich said, "You know what? It's time to walk away from this and admit that it's all about the spirit of Shabbos." Rav Yaakov Ariel said, "No. Don't tell me that it's mutter. Don't even tell me that I need to explain to you why it's usser. Because you know what? No one ever thought it was formally usser. Or if they did, it wasn't because they thought that in a vacuum." Rabbi Yaakov Ariel says what many people think intuitively, which is, when the Chazon Ish sat down and said, building a circuit is boneh, did he really think it was boneh? Or did he start by thinking it must be usser? And I don't really care how I get to that conclusion, but I know it's usser. My gut tells me it's usser. Call it boneh if you want. Call it makeh v'padesh if you want. Call it molad if you want. Call it whatever you want, but it's usser. And therefore, what would I say moving forward? The same thing. That even if you can't come up with a good language, even if our old language doesn't work anymore to explain why mind-controlled drones shouldn't be used on Shabbat, it doesn't matter. Because all the post-gim, we assume they started with the halachic analysis. No. They didn't start with the halachic analysis. They started with conviction that it must be usser, and then they figured out why. And if you haven't figured out why it's usser yet, you'll figure it out one day. But in the meantime, it's obviously usser. Right? And that's what he says. Look at 6. Look at the English. And I'm going to read it in Rav Yaakov Ariel because I have an actual posek saying this. Professor Benny Brown, in his biography of the Chazon Ish, quotes some of the Chazon Ish's Talmidim who claim that the Chazon Ish himself admitted that that's why he said it was boneh. But I didn't put that because I can't prove the Chazon Ish said that. I have hearsay accounts from Benny Brown, from a Talmud of the Chazon Ish, that was the Chazon Ish meant. But Rav Yaakov Ariel thinks that's true. So look at 6. It seems to me that the opinion of the Gaon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is the accepted law, according to most authorities in our generation, namely that using an electric appliance involves a rabbinic prohibition, unless the appliance, that's again how he understands Rav Shlomo Zalman, fine, unless the appliance performs a biblical malacha such as milking, shaving, lighting a fire, and the like. However, the opinion of the Chazon Ish is that using an electric appliance is forbidden biblically. According to him, there are two prohibitions. The very closing of the electric circuit that enables the current to flow through the wires is building, and using the appliance as a result of this is fixing a vessel, makeh v'padesh, which is biblically prohibited, either because of building or delivering the final hammer blow. The Gaon of Shlomo Zalman Orbach disagreed with him. Okay, he's summarizing the history of Psak so far. There's the Chazon Ish, who thinks it's biblically usher, and Shlomo Zalman, who didn't. But if I'm allowed to presume to grasp the depths of his great opinion, that meaning the Chazon Ish, he was worried quite correctly that if these appliances would be permitted, the Shabbat would, God forbid, become a weekday. He understood with the breadth of his knowledge, the knowledge of Torah, that the Torah would presumably not agree to permit use of electric appliances. Therefore, it seems to me that even those who disagree with the Chazon Ish, holding that there is only a rabbinic prohibition in using certain electric appliances, they mean this only with a single incidental use. Now, this is a bit of a chiddush. He thinks using electricity once, maybe it's molid, maybe it's derabbanan. However, it is possible that using many electric appliances on Shabbat would involve a biblical prohibition, based on what the Ramban wrote in his commentary to the Torah. And then he quotes the Ramban. The Ramban says, what does the Torah mean when it says Shabbaton? That in addition to Malachot, you should create a Shabbos. What does it mean to be Shabbos? So Ramban writes, we are biblically commanded to rest on Yom Tov and Shabbos, even from those activities that technically do not qualify as Malacha. We should not strain all day to measure grain, weigh fruit, move utensils and even stones from house to house and place to place to load up donkeys. And all packages would be delivered on Yom Tov in the marketplace, would be filled with ongoing commerce, and the workers would arise for their duties and hire themselves out like the rest of the week and so on. Therefore, the Torah commands us Shabbaton, that these should be days of rest and cessation of work and not days of labor and toil. This is specifically true for our generation. As technology has developed and moved forward, And even during the week, most people do not toil and work with their bodies, but rather they press buttons, listen and talk and receive decisions. And all is done with virtually no work, but with psychological stress, right? Metach nafshi. And thank God who gave his nation of Israel Shabbat and the holidays when the world's sambation rests for us. No phone, no fax, no computer, no radio, no car, and no other appliance, just the Holy Shabbat. How lucky we are. How good is our portion. How great is this gift that the Holy One, blessed be, he gave us. The one who gives his nation of Israel Shabbat and holidays for holiness and rest, for Torah and joy. And therefore it seems to me that even the, even the authorities who hold that electric appliances are only forbidden rabbinically, we should not be lenient regarding their use unless there's a great need and with other reasons to be lenient and with responsible and deliberate decision-making so that we shall not, God forbid, breach the floodgates of the holiness of Shabbat, which is the foundation of all of Israel's Torah. Rabbi Yaakov Ariel says, A, it's a biblical doraita because it's not Shabbistic, right? But B, he didn't stop where Rabinovich stopped, which is it's only not Shabbistic and therefore you can be lenient. He said, no, because we know it's not Shabbistic, we have to go the extra step and say, therefore, unless there's a pressing need, it is Asur Midaraisa. Why? Don't ask me why. Right? It is. That's what it is. Treat it as if it's Asur Midaraisa. You don't have a language for it? I don't care. Right? So you have three possibilities of where Poskim are going. Some are recognizing that our current language isn't sufficient, so they're coming up with substantive language to forbid it, like Rav Asher, to say that anything which is creative is a malacha, is biblically usur, but with that comes leniency, that anything which is a psik resha, I didn't mean to do, I don't perceive it, even if it's inevitable, is mutter. You're Rabinovich, who says the language we've had so far was never settled, it's time to settle it, leniently, and to recognize it's only about the spirit of Shabbos, and therefore, in cases when it's, right, you can't tell me why it's not Shabbistic, going into my hotel room, why it's not Shabbistic? It's mutter. It's mutter. It wasn't settled, that was because we never thought it was usher. And he takes the next step and says it's mutter. And then you have Rav Yaakov Ariel, who sort of hedges, and says, look, it is not Shabbistic, but I'm not willing to say what Rav Rabinovich says, which is therefore it's only not Shabbistic, and therefore, you know, it's like playing ball on Shabbos, or I don't know, all the different things people said are not Shabbistic, like, you know, some people say playing board games are not Shabbistic, right? Just like we can have a machlokas about that, so we can have a machlokas of electricity. I'm not willing to say that. He said, no, it must be that it's if it's usher midaraisa. And what question should we be asking as we move forward? Right? What things inevitably will destroy Shabbos? Anything that will inevitably destroy Shabbos, not only should we say it's not Shabbistic, we should assume that there's a biblical iser, even if we don't know what it is.
That would be dangerous, because most of the chiloni I met in Israel, which are not dafka, they said, no, I'm turning on the TV, I'm not.
Correct,
I'm not,
and this is why.
That's what they say, the chiloni. I don't do any melacha. It's not work, they say.
So, I didn't put this piece from Rav Asher Weiss. For Rav Asher Weiss, right, when he responded to, again, I assume it's one of the something from Rabinovich, the reason he said, I'm not willing to say it's not Shabbistic, is for a very simple reason. Nobody cares. Right? You tell someone it's not Shabbistic, and they ignore you, right? They say, it doesn't look like, he said, it must be Zazim Midaraisa, because otherwise no one will take me seriously, right? You're right. That's the danger of saying something like Rabbi Rabinovich, of saying it's not Malacha, it's not Shabbistic, because then someone will say, either, okay, I'm willing to do things which aren't Shabbistic, or they'll just say, who said it's not Shabbistic? The whole week I don't have time to watch TV, right? Who has time to watch movies during the week, right? Friday night, I sit down with my wife after Friday night dinner, we watch a movie. Who said that's not Shabbistic, right? Who has time to do that during the week? I don't know what you're talking about, right? We're all busy. We have busy lives. That's the danger. You're right. You're right. It is. It is. But what you see from these poskim is that, A, they're struggling with the fact that the original language of poskim was never settled, right? Why electricity other was never settled. Their second, even if it was, the reality that they're dealing with is so different. Right? Rav Shlomo Zalman could say, I'm not sure why electricity is usher, but everything creates heat. All incandescent light bulbs are at least usher because they're mavir. But nowadays, it's LED, right?
Okay.
What, these LED? Yeah, right? Right?
What?
All electricity
is some.
Correct, yes. My father-in-law always tells me this. My father-in-law is an electrical engineer. There's some heat. Okay, but it's basically insignificant. And most of the posts can say that's not called mavir. Right? we're dealing with a reality where whether it be LED lights, which aren't usher for the reasons they used to be, or deal with motion sensors where you have to ask the question, right, am I doing anything? Or you're dealing with mind control things where you have to ask whether it's an action, right? You've got to ask the questions again, right? You've got to ask what generated the Yisurim to begin with, because you have to re-ask them because they don't really work. I'll give you another example quickly. Continuous currents, right? Things which are continuous current, like iPads. According to Chazon Ish, can they possibly be usher? It's very hard. You never turn on a circuit. All you're doing is, right, increasing and decreasing. It never really goes off. So is it usher or not? Well, according to Rav Asher Weiss, yes, because you're turning it on. You perceive it as going on. But for the Chazon Ish, that's formal. A lot of poskim say no. For the Chazon Ish, whenever you're turning something up higher or lower, it's not called bonek. Because you didn't create something new.
I mean, if I want to be the Chazon Ish and be very machmir, I would say every time you're using a computer, there's, you know... Yes, you know, you're
correct.
Bits
correct, but many poskim say that doesn't
each
work. Correct, and some poskim will say that's true for the Chazon Ish, but a lot of people will say no. The Chazon Ish said it's bone, that's only true when you're creating a new circuit, not if you're. No, of course, you're right. Some poskim will say that, but other poskim will say no. The Chazon Ish said turning on a new circuit, not whatever you're doing, not micro circuits. Or again, you can explain that it's us, but it's not obvious anymore. Right? It's not obvious the Chazon Ish applies in a lot of cases. Yeah.
Involved on Shabbos, so that would be okay, right?
Yes.
But you can use timers to do things that aren't Shabbosic, and we don't do that. Like, we don't have our TV turn on and off and let us watch that movie
right.
Saturday night or whatever.
So
and we all don't do it because it's not Shabbosic, nothing to do with electricity, right?
Correct. So Rebbe Rabinovich, not surprisingly, who went the non-Shabbosic route, you know what his proof was? That we can use electricity on Shabbos? Because Moshe Feinstein has said you aren't allowed to use timers on Shabbos because they're not Shabbosic, right? And other things, right? And Rabinovich said, how many people listen to Moshe? Nobody. And therefore he said, you see that we don't think having electricity going on and off is not Shabbosic. But if turning on electricity is only a problem not being Shabbosic, so then, just like we can use timers, we can turn on electricity, right, without a timer. Exactly. That's exactly what he says, right? Rabinovich takes it, follows that logic to its extreme. Okay, I'm going to summarize in a few points because we're at it, and then I'll take questions. People can ask questions afterwards, but I want to finish the formal one so people can go home. It's already 10 o'clock, okay? Some of the problems, as I mentioned, that are making it even harder are things like speech and thought, right? Speech. Even if you think like the Chazon Ish, or even if you think like Rav Asher Weiss, that there's a malacha going on, boneh, makah v'patish, or whatever, is speech an action? So usually not. Now, you could argue that speech is an action, based on the Gemara in 7. The Gemara in 7 says that, let's say, there's a prohibition of chasima, right, of muzzling an animal while it's working. So the Gemara says, what happens if you do chasima b'kol, right? If you muzzle it by yelling at it every time it tries to eat, is that called muzzling? So the Gemara has a machlokas, but Rabbi Yochanan says yes, because akimas piv hevi masa, because when you curl your lips, that's called a masa, it's called an act. Now, why is it an act? So it's commonly understood as follows. When the Gemara normally said that speech is not a maase, right, it's not an act, that's because communication is not an act. But when you're talking to an animal, are you really communicating? Not really. You're using your voice the same way you'd use a stick, right? You're scaring it, or you're stopping it. When you use speech not to communicate, but to act, so potentially that's called an act. Okay? I'm oversimplifying it, but let's leave that. Okay? So one could argue along those lines that fine, you know, Google Home and Amazon Echo or the other way around, whatever it is, right? If I set up my house that every time I talk, something goes on, I'm clearly, right, doing an act with my speech. You could argue that. Now, you could theoretically say, no, you're not.
You have to look at it fundamentally, though. Fundamentally, speech is not an action.
Right. So on the one hand, you could say it's not an act. But like I said, there's evidence in the Gemara that sometimes it is an act, right? But what about thought? Right? Thought, right? Speech, I could construct an answer. I could construct a prohibition from talking. I could also say it's not prohibited, right? Which is what really, you know, Rabinovich goes in that direction. But thought, so if I'm Rabinovich, is thought possibly usher? No, right? It can't be usher. But even if he's a Chazon Ish, what precedent do we have for this question? Is there any precedent anywhere in Kol HaTorah Kula for doing something by mere thought, being a malacha, even if you think that when I turn on a switch, it's boneh.
That's not exactly thought. It's either scanning your eye or electrodes to your brain.
Yeah, so it's...
It's not exactly...
All you're doing is thinking. Yes, it's scanning the electric waves in your brain, but all you're doing is thinking.
Or your eye, whatever.
Or your eye or whatever. Is that called action? Is that action? Where would you even look? And this is my point, is that it's not just that we never settled the original machlokot. It's not just that new things are coming out. It's that new things are coming out with zero precedence. So where would I even look? So I have some preliminary thoughts. Let me just say my preliminary thoughts, okay? One thought is there's a whole series of weird tshuvot about whether it's usher to do malacha on Shabbos through magic or the Shemot Hashem, through metaphysical things. Right? Bleich wrote a very interesting article 2-3 years ago based on the Gemara by Yonathan Ben Uziel, that when Yonathan Ben Uziel used to learn, right, if birds flew over his head, they would burst into flames because he was so holy. So he said, I have always had a quixotic obsession with this Gemara and wondered, would you be chayev on Shabbos for igniting that bird? So there are some poskim who maybe say yes. Well, if you think yes in that case, then maybe thought is a malacha. But what? Or is that psikresha? I don't know. So maybe you have to look, maybe you have to go back to all the discussions about whether it's a malacha to do things magically or through Shemot Hashem. I don't know. Another possibility, some of the Achronim, this is found in a Tshuvat Brit Yaakov, say that why did Chazal forbid Amir Lenachri, right, say that you can't have a non-Jew do malacha? So he says as follows. What's the core of malacha? Melechet machshevet, right, that you do what you wanted to do. Well, when you tell a non-Jew to do a malacha, you got what you wanted done without doing an action. So he says that's rabbinically forbidden, right? It's not biblical because you didn't do an action, but it's usur because your desire was fulfilled. So maybe thinking to do a malacha is at least usur rabbinically, like Amir al-Nachri. Maybe. I have no idea. Right? But the fact is, Adam told me that he heard a shir, where is it? Adam over there, told me that that he heard a shir by Rav Shechter, but I didn't get a chance to find it, where he suggested that it depends. Is it being controlled by radio waves, right? Or is it being controlled by a wire attached to your head? If it's by a wire attached to your head, so then maybe it's an action because you're connected to the thing which is acting. But if it's through radio waves,
yeah.
Maybe. My point is not to answer the questions as much as to point out the reason we need to come up with a new language and to go back to first principles is because some of these shailas have no precedent, and if we don't have those, if we don't go back and say, are we really talking about malacha? Are we talking about the spirit of Shabbos? Are we talking about something in between? Then how are we going to deal with the shailas that have no precedent? We need to go back to first principles, and that's why I think all these tshuvot are from the last 5-10 years. I think the reason poskim are going back to first principles is because you need to if you want to answer fundamentally new questions. And so what I wanted to do here was just to open this conversation and show you how complicated things have gotten, why it's important to be thinking about the fundamentals of what we think is obvious, but in fact is so complicated and so far from intuitive. At the end, we're not going to get into it because we're out of time. But motion sensors, like I said, is the same problem, where reality is becoming more and more dependent on motion sensors, where there's a million questions you have to ask with motion sensors. Psik resha. Is it a psik resha? Is it a psik resha on a biblical law, on a rabbinic law? Is it called nichale or not lichana? Do you want it or not? Or I gave you a summary here so you can look at it. What if it's doubtful? What if I don't know if there's a motion sensor to turn on the light, right? Then it's called a suffix psik resha. Right? Right, exactly. All types of things. Rav Vosner has suggested that when I'm walking in the street, because the act I'm doing is called walking and not turning on a light, so if a light happens to go on, it's permitted lechatchila. Rabbi Rabinovich takes this a step further and says that I'm allowed to walk into my room lechatchila even when I know it's going to turn on a light because it's just called an act of walking. But again, this is Rabbi Rabinovich lishitaso, that it's only about the spirit of Shabbos. So it's what? He doesn't care because he thinks Shabbos is only, he thinks Shabbos is only, right, is only to begin with. Right, it's not Shabbos. Electricity is only, it's not Shabbosic. So sure, if it's not Shabbosic, then walking into a room is perfectly Shabbosic, even if it happens to turn on a light. So he says, even lechatchila, you don't have to worry about motion sensors. Right? Other people say, what are you talking about? That's not called, it's not just, when you walk into a room and you turn on the light and you know it's there, that's not just walking into a room, that's called turning on a light. So I'll give you an example. His Talmidim, Dror Frixler and Elio Reif, said that walking into a, turning on, using a motion sensor to open a sliding door is just walking, right? It's not opening a door, you're just walking. Rav Eitam Henkin, Hashem Yikom Damo, right, said, what are you talking about? As he said, people don't normally walk into glass walls. The only reason you're walking through that glass wall is because you know you're opening the door. He says, Ve'od, when you get to that door, if it doesn't open, what do? Ataholeich ana ve'ana. Right? You walk this way and that until it opens. He's like, what are you talking about? That's called an act. But again, motion sensors open a whole new question because you're not doing an act of turning on a light. You're doing an act of walking. Right? Do we call that walking or do we call it turning on a light? It's not clear, and the original tshuva might not help you. So again, you can look at the summaries I gave you. We're over time. But what I wanted to do with this conversation is point out that the reason that things are changing and poskim are going back to first principles is because the original machloket was never settled, but more importantly, even if it had been, there's so many new questions that can't be answered with anything we've had, whether it be motion sensors or thought or speech or whatever, that poskim have been forced to either say, like Rav Asher Weiss, we're finding a new formal language that'll explain things, go like Rabinovich and say, admit that it was never really usher, and ask the question, did Shabbos stick? Or throw up our hands in the air like a rack of Ariel and say, I don't know why it's usher, but it must be, right? And therefore, even if I can't explain it, I'm going to say it's usher. But the reason these poskim are going back to those first principles is because things are so complicated. And if we want to understand the conversations that poskim are going to be happening in the next 10, 15, 20, 50 years, it's helpful to look back at these poskim who are beginning the conversation, which I'm sure will develop. And again, for actual psak, go ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Don't ask me because this is way, way above my pay grade. Okay.